the mystery of God. God has had secrets from time beginning, apparently. And if one is familiar with the three earth ages, whereby we know there's no disagreement with science and with the Word of God, because there was an earth age before this one. We find artifacts in our documentaries at the various universities throughout the nation that certainly there was a time before this, and many interesting things happen. Stones speak and artifacts speak. So what happened at that time? It certainly has something to do with the mystery of God, the mystery of the kingdom, and how that relates to you. So we're going to search, and we're going to see what that mystery entails that was actually hidden from many eyes, because certainly it should not be hidden from your eyes. You have eyes to see and ears to hear if you know and understand our Father's simple letter that He has written to you, whereby you have instructions how to operate, control, and live in these human bodies and have peace of mind. Never get shook up to speak of and allowing God to be in control. We're going to start by analyzing some of the statements that are written and made. I want you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. And thinking in the terms of what was, what is, and what shall be, we read in verse 8 concerning the true Savior. This is very important. Absorb it. Concerning the Savior. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega. That's the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet, which is simply to say, I'm the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, now absorb that, which is means He's now, always is, will not leave you, will not forsake you, and which was, He was in that first earth age. He was even in the beginning of this earth age when the polysyndeton used in chapter 1 of that great book of Genesis, the word and, the Spirit moved. He was part of that Spirit, which was and which is to come, the Almighty, which is to come when? In the new earth age. In other words, absorb from that. What I want you to draw from that is He's always with you. He was in the first earth age. He is, and He's always going to be. That's a comfort. Now, we're going to go totally to the negative side of this, and we're going to take a part of the mystery that is utilized by the opposite side, which is to say none other than Satan. Let me tell you, if you cannot identify who the spurious Messiah, Antichrist, false Christ, whatever name you wish to call Him by, still the same, no big deal. If you cannot identify Him from the Word, you got trouble. You really got trouble. So we're going to gently go through this so that all of our minds are synchronized, whereby we're preparing ourselves for the next two lectures that are to come. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 17. And let's take note. There was another great mystery, and it was concerning the harlot in the end times. She wasn't a harlot as far as a professional harlot, as you might think, in the flesh. She was a religious harlot. I mean, she rode every false doctrine. She believed most false doctrines. She practiced false doctrines, mainly because she didn't know who it was that was, is, and will always be. Easy confused when you don't put this gray matter in gear and think for yourself, because I'm going to guarantee you, men will mislead you. That's why God sent you this word, whereby you have a foundation that you can feel secure within. And it doesn't matter what this man says or what some other man might say, you have the goods. You have the documentation whereby you can prove or disprove that that falls on your ear, whether it be truth or whether it be traditions, because traditions certainly make void the letter your father has sent you. So this woman, they called her a great mystery. She shouldn't be a mystery to you. Her start, and she writes on the rides, as you would find in the earlier chapters of this particular, early verses rather, of this particular chapter, that she rides upon a beast, and that beast simply consists of a world political religious system with one head, a king, just like our King of Kings, only he's the fake. And that's where the mystery lies, and it's for you to determine what is truth and what is not. So she was a great mystery, but my point simply is this. She shouldn't be to you. You hear some revolving rev, some preacher on television or anywhere else that tells you you should not read or the book of Revelation because it isn't meant to be understood. And I would dare say that 99% of you in this room know that the word revelation, in whatever language you wish to carry it, means to uncover, to unveil, to make known. So do you think God had time to waste? I mean, that's hypocrisy for someone to tell, all you have to do is listen to me and believe. But believe what? He'll do something religious every once in a while, like maybe pass a hat. So it doesn't take long to understand where his mind is. It's money. I'm proud to say that in almost 50 years of teaching, I've never allowed anyone to pass a hat. We've got too much work to teach God's Word without taking time up for that sort of thing. That's business for another day, another time, another thing. It's your business between you and the Father. But you can spot a fake if you're familiar with your father's word. That's what this old harlot does. She listens and rides everything that comes along looking for a new religion. And my friends, there is no new religion. Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality. You live it every day and it will change your life if you allow the letter he has composed to you through great people to guide and direct you. Now, she was riding on this beast, and what was it? Let's absorb it, and I want to, though many of you have been through this probably 100 times, by that I mean this particular chapter, but I want you to pay strict attention to time sequence. Time sequence. We're going to start with verse 8 to let's identify who their king is, who this main deceiver is. Verse 8 of chapter 17, the book of Revelation, and it reads, "The beast that thou sawest was," that means he was in the first earth age, he was, "and is not," that means is not privy to walking to and fro on the earth any longer, other than by his spirit. His evil spirit. De facto, he cannot, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. That is a state or a statement of degradation that only one entity wears, because he's already been condemned to death, even before the great white throne judgment, because he was condemned to death in the first earth age. That's why he's called the son of perdition. The word perdition, apalia, means to die, to perish. God's already sentenced him, but he's allowing him to sift out, and the sifting is well underway. So, he was in the first earth age, but as what role? The role of deceiving this harlot, which means what? Playing God. Antichrist, false Messiah. In other words, he's not allowed in the beginning of this first earth age to play a false Jesus, if you wish to have it that way. But then it says here he's going to ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And perdition means ultimately there's a time segment there. When does he perish? You know when it is, the lake of fire, closing of Revelation 20. So pay attention to the time element. That's what I'm driving at here. Okay. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. I mean, they're going to be amazed and wonder what's going to happen next. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold puts it in the tense. Think of the time. Behold means to look at, to look upon. Who look upon the beast that was, is not, and yet is. So we have the time element. That means there are a people that were set aside, and their names were written in that book of life before the foundations of this earth age. Not this terra firma, not this arets in the Hebrew tongue. Why? They earned it. God doesn't give free passes. They earned the right. Why? The Greek verb, katibu, concerning and connected to foundation. You with companion Bibles make a note of Appendix 146. Telling you of the world that was and the cipherment or the correct use of this verb. It means before the overthrow, not necessarily the foundation being properly translated. What overthrow? There was only one. That was Satan when he was sentenced to death and became the son. Why? He is God's son. God created him. Ezekiel 28 verses about 13 through 18 declare that. In the day that I created thee. So, but he is the son that is already to perish. But he's not now. But he's going to be when he comes out of that pit. And again, that is just a statement of degradation. You know where he comes from. Michael is going to kick him out of heaven along with his fellow Nephilim, fallen angels, to this earth. Then he's going to be again, and he will be in that state of degradation that he always is to deceive that harlot. That is to say, the church that doesn't study the Word of God but listens to traditions of men. So he was the false Messiah. Oh, he's still Satan today, but he's not allowed to play false Messiah because he's not present on earth other than in spirit. You want to let his spirit mess with you? Whoa, he's got the time. He'll do it. But Christ has given you power over that spirit, so it should be nil to you at this time other than to be on guard. So he was. And Revelation chapter 12 stipulates that he was in the first earth age, again in that same position. He had the seven nations, the crowns, and he drew a third of God's children to worship him. And therein is the base of the mystery. God loves his children. He had a choice, destroy the earth age or destroy his children. You ever thought of trying to destroy one of your children? That's a tough trip. He chose not to do that, but to destroy the age and give the children an opportunity to make their own individual minds up. It's a personal thing. Whether you're going to be deceived by the false one, or whether you're going to hang to he that was and still is and always will be. Which sounds best to you? Which is more comforting? One that would leave you? I think not. But the one that is always with you and promises in the 13th chapter of the great book of Hebrews, he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always there. He's it. He's boss. Now, back to the son of perdition when he plays the role again. As what? As false God. As false Christ. As your Savior. Again, I insist that you think of this time in the time element. All right, think in time. Verse 9. And here is a mind which hath wisdom. Do you? I think so. I sure do. The seven heads are seven mountains, which means seven, let's just call them continents, okay? Covers the whole world. On which the woman sitteth. It's all the people of the world. But there was an exception to this. Do you remember? The exception is those that have the truth or the seal have their names written in the book before even that overthrow or at that overthrow. Why? They hated Satan. And that's a pretty good clue when someone dislikes Satan a great deal today. It's inbred. It's there. It's in their mind. It's in their soul. It's in their being. There's a reason for it. You know, you don't know what happened, but verse 10. And there are seven kings. Now, Satan has many roles, all right? He plays them down through the years. You know them, him as Little Horn, Lucifer, Antichrist, Serpent, Devil, Lucifer, again. There are seven kings. Five are fallen. Five of his roles are just shot full of holes. He's never going to be able to use them again. Think time for me now. Five is kaput. It's over. And one is, and the other is not, yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, five gone, six is coming, and of course, that would be, let's see, five fallen, one is, that's six, and the seventh, the other, is not yet come, but he'll come as the seventh, and what is that role, seven? Seven is the number of spiritual completeness. Naturally, he's going to take that. He's going to be the false Christ again. Are you going to be equipped? That's the point. He can only continue a short space. Who only has 5 months? You know who it is. It's the false Christ. Only has 5 months. That's a very short space in God's book. So, again, I want you to note, I'm striving to identify who and what role and the time sequence within this. It's important. We know that he only goes 5 months. Now, what does 11 say? And the beast that was and is not, we know that's not Christ. Even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. Meaning, after he completes his role as false Messiah, he's locked in the pit again for a 1,000-year reign, a millennium, that great term. And then he'll come back as the eighth for a very short period, and then what happens? He goeth into perdition. That is a time element. You can lock that in. That means lake of fire happens after the eighth. We're finished with him. The earth is rid of him for one and all times at that time. So his role, rather than eight meaning new beginnings, where he's going to have some great new beginnings as his appearance is related in Revelation chapter 20, it's really his end. It's over. But the big question is, what are you going to be doing in all this time? Because it most likely is going to happen in your lifetime. So it's important that you know the time element, that you know who you're talking, who our Father's talking about, and basically what you're going to do about it, because it's written what you should do in Mark 13, Matthew 24. Many people say, I wish I could do something for God. Well, read Mark 13 and Matthew 24. It's a pretty big destiny. And he's counting on those that have eyes to see and ears to hear to know. For he wants to deal with you. He wants to use you. So it is there that he goes into perdition. So I want you to hang on to those times real good. They're very important. It gives you Satan's titles, the ones that are wiped out. You don't have to worry about that again. And the roles he will play between now and the end. And basically splitting up before, during, and after the millennium. if you really followed me, and by the time all this dovetailed together for you, by the end of three lectures, then I think you're going to feel real good about it. Chapter 9 of the book of Revelation. The fifth angel has just sounded, and he was given the key to that bottomless pit, which means what? He's going to open it. He's going to open that bottomless pit and turn this rascal loose. Verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Darkness, naturally, is Satan's hallmark. It means deception. It is dark sayings and sentences, which kind of better translate secret sentences, secret happenings. And the people that follow him are going to think they're in just really a real special clique. And they'll have lots of company, because most of the world will wander after him, thinking he is the true Christ come to rapture them away. There's just one problem. The word rapture is not even written in the Word of God. He has things for his children to do, not play butterfly. Verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. What does that tell you? They're not locusts. That's what locusts live off of, is green fodder and things. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not, I repeat, have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Wouldn't that seem, if you were a wise person, that it would be paramount that you have the seal of God in your forehead? I mean, these rascals are speedy. They're mean. They're cruel. You know how they can act as a scorpion. Do you know what a scorpion catches its victim? It doesn't have a stomach. It squirts its digestive juices into the very shell of the victim, turns their backbone to mush, and then when those juices have the skin becoming his stomach of the victim, that would be you. Then he just sucks the backbone right out of them. They're nothing. Talk about wimps. What is the point of rescue? Is to have the seal of God in your forehead. What is that? Well, what's in your forehead? Your brain is. Use it. The seal of God is simply his truth. His plan. What happened before, what's happening now, and what's going to happen. It simply comes to this point. When you know God's plan overall, Satan can't deceive you. And that's the only tool he has to work with. Is lies, thievery, deception. And he will cause spiritual death after spiritual death. By that I mean through deception. So it becomes paramount that you have the seal of God in your forehead, or that deception is going to torment you. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man, meaning the four described victims' end. 6. Now, understand, Satan doesn't have the power to kill anybody. But he can sure bring about a spiritual death. How are you doing? Would it be easy for someone to spiritually deceive you? Not if you're grounded in the Word and have this Word in your forehead, in your mind, if you're familiar with it. I mean, after all, it's only the story from beginning to end of a man and his family. And as that family comes in contact with all other peoples, pretty simple. If you just let it flow and don't listen to some one verse Charlie that skips you all over and never follows the subject, the object, or the plan of God, pretty difficult. As I used the illustration on television the other day, if you were to go to a good bookstore and buy the hottest novel going, good, really good, and turned over to the back and read a paragraph and then the middle and then the beginning and said, I wonder what happened in the book. Well, read it and you'll know. People are very strange creatures and can be misled so easy by men. Make sure that men, Satan's bad enough. Watch out for one verse Charlie's, all right? Or one verse revolving Rev's. Verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it and shall desire to die and death shall flee from them. Why? They are well-meaning Christians and they're ready to fly. There's just one problem. Christ is coming back here at the seventh trump, as it is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And the Antichrist appears at the sixth trump. So when they expect to do their sprouting of wings, it's over. And they truly love the Lord. And they're looking for crowns of valuables and spiritual blessings, a pat on the head from the true Christ. And then to find out they've been in bed playing the Jezebel, they want to die. Why? For shame. There's no doubt they do love the Lord. And it's sad and it hurts. But I'm sorry, that's the way it is. If you don't love your Father well enough to read this set of instructions that He sent along with these flesh bodies, time after time telling you how to acquire peace of mind and to be blessed and successful in this world, then whose fault is it? It's yours. It's quite simply yours. So always make the right decision. 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. Oh, they look so royal. And understand, this is not locust, and they're not horses. They're deceivers. They're Satan's very best, his lieutenants. And their faces were as the faces of men. Why? They were men. Men-like. God would say, let us make man in our image. So the image of all is the same. 8, and they had hair as the hair of women. They looked so gentle, as compassionate as a mother. Come to me. Be saved today. Listen to the truth. You don't have to understand the book of Revelation because you're going to be gone. You know, they've got all sorts of soothing words for you, but spiritually they are like arrows or javelins of death. Though they mean well. You're to be more intelligent than that. Why? So, though they appear to have much compassion, oh, let people run over you, just pray for them. Pray for the sweet things. Let them do whatever. Well, that isn't what God told you to do. He said, get along with them if it's possible. You know. So, you know, you're not second-class citizens. We make our own wake, and we don't take second boat to anybody. Okay? So, though they may act as gentle as women, what is it that they do really? And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. You know, a canine, when he takes a victim, he cuts off the vascular system and simply strangles them for lack of blood. But a lion rips and tears. And spiritually, that's what Satan or your false teachers will do to you if you let them. They will tear and rip the very soul out of your body and instill it with false sayings and traditions that will steal your very soul's eternal life from you if you allow it. And all the time you had God's word, so simple, warning you that it would happen if you allowed it. And again, I state, if you allowed it, it's up to you. Verse 9, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. You know who wears a breastplate? Priests, preachers. They looked a lot. I mean, they really looked. There certainly weren't any of the jewels of Master's crown in those breastplates. They're iron. You better beware of priests, okay? By whatever name they go. And the sound of their wings is the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle, meaning some of them are even supernatural. Why? He's going to bring them with him. And you think that's serious? You think that's kind of bad? Wait, listen. And verse 10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. All except who? They'll never lose track of that. They're not hurt you. Have no power over you. Why? They're lies. You know better. You're not going to listen to them. If anything, you're going to down them. Has no effect on you whatsoever. As God has said many times, touch not mine anointed. It isn't necessarily a thing of power, but of intelligence. The only intelligent person truly is one that is familiar with the Creator of all. One that is truly intelligent is one that has paid attention to the Father who controls all things. And as it is written, it shall come to pass. Not maybe, not perhaps, it shall come to pass exactly as it is written. The question is, have you read it? With understanding. That's why we're doing this. 5 month period of the locust is when? May through September. Very simple. It's a natural thing. And God goes by nature. Farmers have a little bit of an advantage in studying God's Word because many agricultural terms and so forth utilize in His prophecies. Verse 11, this is why we came here, sharpen up for me. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Apalia. To perish. Destruction. I mean, this king's name isn't the King of Peace. This isn't Melchizedek, King of the Just. Zedek being the just or the upright. No, this is the King of Destruction. What's your choice? The choice. There is no choice. You're not going to take destruction. But many people seem to love it. They are so easily pulled away and deceived from studying God's Word. They'll settle for one verse and then some revolving rev popping hot air for 30 minutes maybe, or an hour if he's really a hard worker. So I don't know. How intelligent are you in relation to God's Word? That's the gauge or the governor by which we go by is how familiar are you. God, if you say, I have difficulty understanding, then pray. Talk to the Father. Meditate. Do you know what? He'll give it to you. He'll dump it on you, the truth. He'll load you up. If you truly, honestly seek understanding of His letter, and instead of muddying the water where you can't see the bottom, as most men, many men do, praise God for people that do teach truth, do it for yourself, because only you will stand before God on judgment day. So, what have we got here? We know that Satan has two more roles he's going to play, the seventh and the eighth. One is as he is now with his little evil spirit. Hey, that's no step for a stepper. We know how to handle that. Behind me in the name of Christ. Out, go. And he's gone. He's afraid of you. Satan will run from you. Now, when he comes back as seven, claiming spiritual completeness, that's going to be a little tougher, but you're going to have a lot of help because the Holy Spirit, as it's written in Mark 13, is going to do the talking for you and even the thinking in part. So we can't miss on that. And then his eighth role, his so-called new beginnings at the end of the millennium, hey, he's a dead man. You don't want to listen to a dead man's advice, not one that was so evil, it caused his, I'm talking spiritual death now, not of the flesh. So there we have a kind of a perspective on that. Our time clocks are set, whereby we know those roles, we know him by any of the eight names he wishes to go by. But wait, there's another place that we should probably investigate. There is a overlay in God's own teaching that simplifies the mystery of the kingdom, and that's what we're after. We want to understand that mystery. What happened? What happened in the beginning that caused this? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Synchronizing our minds whereby we're in the right frame of time and understanding. Christ has just instructed the parable of the sower, the way a man broadcasts seed. That is to say, with a bag on his hip and casting from side to side, a man of my size can probably cover a 30-foot swath, 25 to 30 feet, and do a pretty good job of broadcast-type sowing, but you have no choice over where the seed falls. And that being said, but he wasn't referring to seed. The seed was the Word, this Word, his Word, the Word that keeps you from deception, the Word that keeps you away from the son of perdition, the Word that makes you wiser than Satan himself, whereby you can defeat him in your personal lives. And they asked Jesus, why? Those people don't know what you're talking about. Why are you speaking in parables about the sowing business? Chapter 13, Matthew verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God even. But to them it is not given. Why? They've got to earn it. God's election in their mind was written when? Before the foundations. And you are to understand the mysteries of that kingdom. Now, you know what happened after that. He gave the parable of the tares. And let me tell you something. He makes it very clear, like in the book of Mark and Luke, if you don't understand that parable, you're not truly going to understand any of his parables. So this is paramount. So just so we know and understand the hidden truth, let's get right to it. Verse 34 now of that same chapter, 13 in the book of Matthew. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. That it might... Now this is important. That it might what? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Again, this is another case where you have that Greek verb, katabeu, which is to say the overthrow of Satan, the son of perdition. How this started in the first place, the mess. And again, I urge those that are not familiar with that, either put it on the shelf or make a note of in your companion Bible of Appendix 146, and you will be very gently guided through the use of that Greek verb with clarity and with understanding. So what did it say, really? He said, I'm talking this way because it was God's plan from the beginning. And it's secret to those that do not have the seal in their mind. Why? They didn't earn it yet. God doesn't give something away because you're the prettiest, but because you earned it. That's important. Therefore, he can intercede in your life and cause you to do things, as it is written in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, You don't even know what to pray for sometimes. Therefore, I intercede in your life. Why? God has to depend on some people to see that His plan comes to fertility, that it comes to pass. And if someone is on trial, He can't intercede in their life, or they'll gripe about it on judgment day. So He won't, unless they ask Him to. But in your life, He will. You may wake up someday and wonder where I got that idea from. Wonder how that came to be. And God will intercede in your life. He will use you. So, there are certain people that are to know and to understand. But here He said, this is a mystery. In that fact, He said, it's the mystery of the kingdom. So we're getting very close here to an explanation of that was kept secret. What did happen in the first earth age? Well, the simplicity in which Christ teaches, anyone can understand, children do. Let's read it. Verse 36, as He said, this has been kept secret. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and His disciples came unto Him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, in other words, He's not speaking in a parable here, dear one. He's explaining one. So you don't have to play any guessing games here. Just read it and absorb it. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That means the Son of God as a man in flesh. That Spirit, 38. The field is the world. Boy, now that's complicated, isn't it? It was this world age. Not the one before, but in this world age, that's the field, the good seed, or the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, we're not talking about flowers or bouquets. We're talking about kids. We're talking about people here, children. All of you know how we get children? Okay, verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. In other words, you leave them alone. They have a purpose also. It may be negative. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. This world what? Cosmos, earth age. We've got a whole new one coming. It's a lot better. Why? Because we're going to get rid of the tares. Well, who are the tares? Devil's children. But let me emphasize, whosoever will, even if a tare believes, he's no longer a tare, but a child of God. You understand? Now, we don't play judgment. God does the judging. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, those that do Satan's work. And let me tell you something. He's not talking here about you eating. He doesn't like it when you eat. I'm going, what sin do I want to use? Too much sugar. Okay? He's not talking about that. He's talking about you doing Satan's work when you're. What's the first commandment? You will put no God before me. You think He likes it when you allow Satan to be your God? Because of your ignorance of God's Word, deception, you think He's really Jesus, and you think you're doing right? God doesn't like that. He expects people to know better because of His love and what He did for you, the price He paid on the cross. And shall, 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire that shall be, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When is that? There's only one time, so you don't have to play guessing games. There's only one time that we have that fiery furnace. And it's actually the lake of fire after the eighth reign of this individual. The devil. Satan. The dragon. Whatever name you want to call him. Still the same. And he's a dead person. So don't let him get into your life. Into your mind. 43 to complete. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That said, as the son in the kingdom of their father. Who is your father? There's another one. There's another one besides ours. And that's why it's written as it is. Which are you going to choose? It was concerning Elijah in the book of Malachi that just before the end, God would send Elijah to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, plural. And he shall send that spirit of Elijah. And he will turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, plural, because the truth will do one of two things. It will turn you to the true Father, or it will drive you so deep into the traditions of men and the one-verse Charlies that it will take the millennium to jar you loose. Pretty late in the day, my friends. And God's Word is powerful, and His Word is beautiful. So make sure that you stay true to your Father. Your Father which is in heaven. Hallowed be His name, His kingdom be done on earth as it is in heaven. And He's coming. It's going to be. So keep your Father straight. There's a fake and there's the real. Love the real. Listen to Him. He wrote this letter to you personally. Now, there is one other place that we must go to, which is a carbon overlay of what we have here, and this will be the final place that we'll deal with this in this lecture. The book of Daniel is an overlay, if you would, of the great book of Revelation. The book of Daniel, I want you to turn to the 11th chapter, but in the 9th chapter, he tells you in verse 27 of the desolator, that's Apollyon, standing in the holy place claiming to be Jesus, and that he would come in the middle of a 7-day period, 3.5 weeks. These that we're about to cover are some of the things that this king from the bottomless pit will do. Here is his type. Chapter 11 of the great book of Daniel, verse 35, and it reads, 34, let's start there. Now when they shall fall, that's to say God's children trying to help the other children, trying to give them that truth, they shall be hoping with a little hope, help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. In other words, God's elect were sent here to teach truth, to plant seeds. And regardless of what, that's going to continue. And some of them of understanding shall fall. This doesn't mean fall away. It means to fall to their knees, but they're going to get back up. I mean, you get a blow every once in a while, but can-do type people, don't worry about that. To try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. But it's going to happen. One of the worst things you can run across is some person that will say, it ain't going to happen. It's going to, friend. Verse 36, and the king, this is the king of that pit, shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Marvelous things, like I'm truly his son, the real son, coming to me. But I am the greatest, okay? And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Do you know what that indignation is? For that is determined shall be done. You can count on it. It's going to happen that way. It's not going to happen any other way. Exactly as your Father has stated. Verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Oh, he's going to talk sweet, like it said in Revelation, like the compassion of a mother to you. But he's after your soul. He likes company in hell. Nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. That's Satan's own plan. It'll be easy to spot. But then when someone claims to be God and they have supernatural powers, people that are unlearned will probably believe him. You know, they'll go nuts over a rock star. They really will. Hoot, holler, lay prostrate, the whole bit. 38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stone and pleasant things. A one world system, a monetary system where dollars are the same everywhere, and he kind of controls it. And hey, if you can control the standards of living and the monetary system, you've got quite a new tool in your little bag of tricks. 39. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. Who is this God? It's number seven. Number seven. Remember back from Revelation? Think about it. 40. And at the time of the end, you've got the time element there. It's pretty clear, isn't it? At the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. As it is written in the book of Joel. As it is written in the book of Joel, where both the sons and the daughters will prophesy, will teach in the end times. As it is written in Acts chapter 2 concerning the Holy Spirit speaking through God's children on that day, that great day spoken of by Joel the prophet. 41. He shall enter also into the glorious land. Well, when you control money and a lot of other things, it's pretty easy to enter wherever you want to and not even be known necessarily. Many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape, sharpen up. Why do these escape? Because they're his friend. Out of his hand. Even Edom. Edom is Rush. R-O-S-H in the Hebrew tongue. It is where he settled. It's Esau's country. There are good Christians there, but the government has been corrupt for many years, trying to throw God. Can you imagine grown adult people trying to throw God out of a country, a nation? I mean, now think about that. You might say, and there may be a few in this room who say, what is he talking about? Don't you know what communism is? Don't you know what happened after the revolution? But you know that most of those beautiful churches, we don't even have churches like that in this nation, very few anyway, that could even compare to the beauty. Storage for fertilizer and grain. Edom had some bad leaders, but thank God that beginning with Korea and Nam, we broke the back of communism. And God is moving back into parts of Russia, but don't go to sleep on me. Because this prophecy will come to pass. It has to do with the 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel. And Moab and the chief children of Ammon. Do you know who they are? Children of Lot. To us. But they're deceived. Because they go along with him. And there's no great mystery in that, because we know the great harlot rides on the whole thing. She thinks she's in heaven. And she makes a statement in that great book of Revelation. I'm not a widow. Meaning, we're a widow because our husband is away. You understand? We're waiting for that rejoining in the great marriage. But she says, my husband is here. I'll be a married queen. That's what she says. And hey, you're going to witness it, friend, and it's going to be hard to take. So, but know God let you know. You can cut it. You can handle it, all right? Now, we see sides in religious wars right today that are here. You know, who is backing Yugoslavia. That is to say, backing him in a sense, giving him the good word and getting on our case and NATO's case, Russia. That's all I'm going to say about it. That's all I'm going to say about it. That's all that should be necessary. Now listen as we continue. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. It's not going to. But, and it is amazing that Islam is very strong within this, and wars make strange bedfellows. You might be seeing a type now. That's what I'm telling you. Not the end, but a type that is very pressing. 43, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all precious things in Egypt, and the Libyans, and that's still the Libyans of today, and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. It would seem that something's about to happen, though, at this time. 44, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Those tidings are brought forth by the ships of Chittim, called in the Hebrew tongue, bruisers. You know who they're bruisers of? Satan. If you had to pick a people today that you wanted to call them the bruisers of Satan, who would it be? I don't think that takes any stretch of the imagination. He don't like us. We're not popular in his book, and aren't you glad? You know, I certainly am, all right? These tidings out of the east, you can read about that back in verse 30, where we could have started, but for the sake of time, and I'm stressing time points. But tidings out of the east, out of the north, shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make a way. This is his last throws as number 7. He's really going to get it on. He's going to promise to eat you alive. You just grin at him. I'm not going to tell you what to say. That would be sacrilegious. Read Mark 13, 45. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Where's that? Come on. You know it's Jerusalem. It's that same mountain that Jesus is going to crack from Mount of Olives, all right? Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Why? He won't have any friends left. When his own find out what he has done to them in misleading, that we see many things there within that that's before you today if you look. Knowledge that you must possess, and yet it is so simple that you all knew it. The reason I know you knew it is you study. You study God's Word. And you're comfortable with it. You're comfortable with it to the point that you have a never-ending hunger to study. And don't think it, if it went away, you'd be in trouble. I've hungered for many, many years, and I still hunger, and I still love to search and hunt. Because the Word is pregnant and it continues to grow until it reaches fulfillment. And we're really coming pretty close to that time.
The Book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's Word? Certainly one way to go there is to study.